This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening. Subscribe and follow on the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. What a day at the link yesterday. The pregame, the atmosphere, all the fans there, some Steelers fans there going back and forth with them. And then the game started. And the Eagles put on a Super Bowl-worthy performance. If they get that kind of play out of their passing game, they will raise a Lombardi trophy in New Orleans come February. That's how good they were yesterday. That's how efficient they were yesterday. That's how everything worked yesterday. That was the perfect football game by the Philadelphia Eagles. So impressed, so excited. And how about holding that football the final 10-29? How about that? That's football right there. That's Eagles football. And they dominate the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday. Let's give out five game balls after the game, after performance yesterday. The five people I want to give the most credit to for bringing home a victory is the Eagles have now won 10 games in a row. 10 games in a row for the first time in franchise history. It's remarkable. Let's start with number one. That's Jalen Hurts. 25 of 32, 290 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, 125.3 passer rating. And I thought he played exceptional football yesterday. I thought he was decisive. I thought he was smart. He was accurate. That was the best of Jalen Hurts. That reminded me of the Jalen Hurts that 2 years ago was up there as the best player in the NFL that season before he got hurt. That was superb play by Jalen Hurts yesterday. He obviously fed off of the criticism and the questions all week. And this is why I said the passing game had to be better. Think about how we all feel this morning. Think about how you feel this morning. You haven't felt that way in a while. Even with the wins, this was different. Because you saw the kind of performance, the balanced performance on both sides. Heck, you know, both Devontae and AJ had 100 yards. And just to give you a little heads up, I'm not going to put Devontae and AJ in my five game balls. They both played really well yesterday. AJ backed it up after asking the pass game to be better. Devontae had some tough catches in traffic and then fighting for extra yards, including first downs. Love the way those two guys played yesterday. But I'm gonna center the pass game on Hurts because he had to be the one to perform. He had to be the one to pull the trigger. He had to be the one to put the ball in their hands. And I was so impressed by his performance. I was so impressed by how he handled it. I was so impressed by how he threw the football against a Mike Tomlin defense. And look, the Eagles had a sense and an idea that the Steelers would try to take away their running game, that they would make it tough sledding. And they were right. Saquon, by his standards, by the standards he has set so far this year, had a very down game with his yards in the 60s. It wasn't a record-setting or record, you know, pace kind of game by Saquon Barkley. He did miss some time, or he went out with the hip issue, and they had to lean on other guys. But the pass game drove the engine yesterday. It drove it. Jalen Hurts was not along for the ride yesterday. He drove that car yesterday. He drove the car to a 27-13 victory. I love the way he played the game yesterday. And then we find out, on top of it, he's playing with a broken finger on his left hand, which you might say is not a big deal. I would disagree. I think that is a big deal. I think it's one we have to monitor how it affects him. He did fumble yesterday. That was probably more of a tremendous peanut punch by T.J. Watt than it is he's going to have ball security issues. But, you know, last year, Justin Herbert had a left-hand issue. Obviously, Justin Herbert, like Jalen and most quarterbacks of the two and maybe a couple others, Penix now, are right-handed throwers. So it's, you know, it's your opposite hand. But can you take the ball out of under center? Do you need to be more shotgun? Ball security, running the football, all those kind of things. I don't think it's a matter of can he play through it, pain tolerance. Jalen after the game said if it's shattered, it's shattered. He's going to play. But I will keep an eye on that. He did have the fumble yesterday, so it wasn't completely, totally perfect, but it was as close as you could get to perfection. I thought Jalen Hurts played great. I'd say the fumble and then some of the sack issues before the end of the first half when the Steelers got back in it to get it to 17-13, that was kind of the issues within the pocket and taking sacks. But for the most part, he carved up a good defense yesterday. And then he had big completions that last drive, big completions on third down to help the Eagles have a 21-play drive to end the game. And not just short completions either, like, you know, 16, 17, 18, like big throws middle of the field and down the sidelines to keep those drives going. I was so impressed yesterday. Great, great, great performance by Jalen Hurts. I would say his best of the season so far. Second game ball for this win over the Steelers goes to Nick Sirianni. He kept the team together. I said it was his biggest week as the head coach. I said he had to make sure this didn't stem to where it did last year. He had to make sure this didn't unravel like last year. And he did that. Everything I asked of Sirianni this week, he did. And I continue to think he's getting better at in-game decisions. And oftentimes, the other coach is making ones that I don't like, and Nick is not. You know, in terms of field goals yesterday, in terms of accepting the penalty, taking the field goal off the board, and then going to score. Tomlin was the one late in the game that punted Sirianni, and the Eagles benefited from that. And I just think he was able to get these guys to calm down this week. And that's important because last year he couldn't. Last year when things unraveled, Sirianni had no answer. Like, I'm not going to sit here and X and O you on Sirianni because that's not what he is or who he is. He is a culture guy, and he needed this culture to be strong this week, even in the midst of turmoil. And he was able to accomplish that. They were able to accomplish that. I give Nick Sirianni a lot of credit because I think other coaches, other teams would have had an issue this week. And now he's got his team. You know, we could all feel we want about Sirianni and his tenure here in Philadelphia and how much credit he deserves or doesn't for the success they have. I consider this more of like a baseball manager than I do, your classic standard NFL coach, because it feels like the front office and the players are the reason for the success. And then the coaching staff, or specifically the head coach, is less involved in terms of the moment-to-moment scheme and X's and O's. You know, the Rams succeed because of McVay. The 49ers have succeeded in the past because of Shanahan. Obviously, Andy Reid, wherever he is. It's not that here. That feeling isn't here. You know, you look at the Coach of the Year odds, and Sirianni has been barely a blip of his name, even though his team has won 10 football games in a row and just had to navigate, you know, a pretty serious situation in terms of all the issues they faced within the locker room this week with their star quarterback and their star wide receiver, and that they've won more games in a row than any football team in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles. That's impressive. He's overseen that. He has overseen a shift in the philosophy of the team, not so much this yesterday, but obviously over the course of the season where they run the football more than they throw it. And that can't be an easy pill to swallow when you have an owner that wants to throw the football and you have a lot of money invested in the wide receivers and the run and the quarterback. But this was the best way for this team to win this year. There's a little bit of Brian Billick, 2000 Ravens, in that Brian Billick was an offensive coordinator. He's supposed to be an offensive mind. Eventually, you know, that changed over the years, and he realized the best way to win with that particular team that year was to play defense and run the football, and they did it, and they won a championship. Credit to Sirianni for keeping his team together. He gets a game ball for yesterday. The third one goes to Vic Fangio. I'm floored with how great this defense is. I mean, I'm running out of things to say. They are fast. They are physical. They are tough. They are smart. They play together. Yesterday, was the 10th straight game the defense allowed 20 or fewer points. It is their longest streak since 1998. They held the Pittsburgh Steelers to 163 yards. That 163 yards offense is the ninth lowest of any team in any game this season. Among the 10 lowest yardage totals this year, three have been against the Eagles. They had 11 offensive plays in the second half. I mean, it's remarkable what they were able to do. The Eagles have now held three opponents on under 175 yards this season. Under 175 yards. It's Pittsburgh's lowest offensive output since September of 2010. And that's when Ben Roethlisberger was hurt and Charlie Batch and Dennis Dixon played quarterback. Dennis Dixon and Charlie Batch. This defense is special. Tom Brady was pointing out on the broadcast how they really, they take what you have and force you into what you don't want to do. You know, the only one-on-one that Russell Wilson was seeing up the sideline yesterday was at one point to Van Jefferson against Darius Slay. It's not a good matchup for the Steelers. You know, without George Pickens, they didn't have an outside matchup, but everything else he muddied in the middle with zone and switching guys and dropping guys, and he's got the pressure with the guys up front. The young players have taken a leap under Vic Fangio. This defense is playing smart. They are playing physical. They are ready now to enter the postseason as a legitimate threat to win it all. They're going to give problems to any defense, any offense they face because of this guy. Vic Fangio has been incredible. And then my last two game balls, I want to shout out a couple guys who won't get much pub today because it's going to be a big story about Jalen in the passing game and AJ and Devontae and obviously, you know, some of the big names that are involved here. But I want to give a couple guys that I thought just made winning plays yesterday a shout out in this podcast. Number one, Kenny Gainwell. I'm a Kenny Gainwell fan. I think it's lost or forgotten that he was their leading rusher in the two playoff games to get to the Super Bowl, not Miles Sanders, that he helped run them to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I think he's a good football player. He is good in the two-minute. He is good at blocking. He is good at catching out of the backfield. A couple of those plays yesterday, I mean, the spin that he had to juke out a Steelers defender was a wow play. If Saquon makes that play, it's a highlight everywhere today. The other one where he catches the ball, you know, in the flat and then keeps going. I mean, it looked like a dump off on like a 3rd and 9 on the, you know, 15 or whatever to get a couple yards and settle for the field goal. And he takes it all the way down to the 1 yard line. And that was a game changing play. It was a game changing play for the Philadelphia Eagles there. I believe that was the drive where they ended it with the touchdown to go up 27-13. Steelers get the ball back and punt and the Eagles never give the football back. But like, think about that sequence. Like winning plays. Okay, so you have the fumble by Najee Harris. It's 20-13 Eagles. Fumble by Najee Harris as the Steelers are trying to go in to tie the game. So Eagles get the football back. They go on a long drive. It ends with the Kenny Gainwell tough run down to the 1 yard line and then push for the touchdown, 27-13. Steelers ultimately, with 10:40 to go, decide to punt around midfield. That's the sequence. You know, if that fumble doesn't happen, perhaps a tie game. Fumble does happen, and let's say Gainwell gets tackled, it's a 10-point game. Is Tomlin punting there in a 10-point game? I don't know. Maybe he's a little bit more likely to push it because now, you know, it's a little bit more, you don't need, I think he was punting because he was hoping for something wacky. Punt, pin him on the two. Maybe you get yourself a blocked punt there on a stop the other way. Maybe you get yourself a really short field and you could score a touchdown and there's still 6 minutes to go in the game and plenty of time. I'm trying to think what Tomlin's thinking there. But I don't know. If Kenny Gainwell gets tackled and it's a 10-point game, 23-13, perhaps he's going for that fourth down because he recognizes how close he is to winning the game. You know, they get the first down there. They either kick a field goal or get a touchdown. It's, you know, we're talking about a 3-point game with 5 minutes to go or a 3-point game with 7 minutes to go. It's a different football game rather than when the Eagles went up 14 there, when Gainwell got that first down and then Jalen put it in, the game was effectively over. Now, the Eagles did it in a unique way by holding the football, but the game was effectively over at that point right there. I love the way Gainwell played. And in a day where, you know, obviously Saquon was a little banged up, doesn't seem like it's serious, but a little banged up, it's good to know Kenny Gainwell can make some plays. And I thought he made a lot of plays yesterday. I like the way he's played this season. Kenny Gainwell gets the fourth game ball for me. And my fifth game ball, a guy that is not getting a lot of pub this year, but quietly getting better and better and better, really improving under Vic Fangio. And I think he's going to be on the list next summer of breakout NFL candidates, like who's going to be the breakout big time players in the NFL this next year. And I think that you're going to see a lot of Nolan Smith. In fact, he's breaking out right now. Nolan Smith yesterday, pass defended early, a sack. You know, he was tackled for a loss. He was all over the place. And I could tell early he was very pumped up for this game. I don't know if it just was the week that was, if it was, you know, him becoming more and more of a leader. I said the day they drafted him, his personality, his smile, he reminds me of Brandon Graham. And, you know, I think he's still got a long way to go to become the leader and the vocal guy. But I do wonder with his Georgia brethren underneath the surface, behind the scenes, if he's already becoming that. I love the energy he brings to the field. It reminds me of Graham. Now, Graham had way more injuries early, and it took him a few years to even get to where Nolan is right now. But when Brandon got going, you felt he was infectious on the field. His personality, his smile, his energy was infectious. He brought energy every play. And Nolan Smith brings an incredible amount of energy. And now with Vic Fangio's scheme and the way he's playing, you could tell that energy is being manifested into on-field play. I thought he was a menace yesterday. Jalen Carter gets the biggest amount of credit. And then we talk about guys like Josh Sweat, the linebackers with Bond. Obviously, the corners have some big names with first-round picks and Cooper DeJean and the vet like Darius Slay and a big personality in Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. But Nolan Smith quietly is putting together a very nice second season and looking like a heck of a pick by the Eagles, the way I thought he was. And then I felt like a dummy last year when he didn't do anything. But I thought from day one this guy was a good pick. That was a tremendous draft by Howie Roseman to get the two Georgia kids in the first round. The five game balls I give out, and I include Brown and Smith in the passing game with Hurts, but Jalen Hurts number one, Nick Sirianni number two, Vic Fangio three, Kenny Gainwell four, Nolan Smith five. The Eagles looked super on Sunday, taking down the Pittsburgh Steelers. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, Chris's YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there.